to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVeonier. Classic Westerns coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear John Daner as Paladin and Have Gun Will Travel. But right now, it's Frontier Town with radio actor and sometimes movie star Jeff Chandler. In the year of this broadcast alone, in 1949, Chandler was playing a regular role on Our Miss Brooks and featured in episodes of The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, the Lux Radio Theater, the Hallmark Playhouse, and the Whistler, and as lawyer Chad Remington on Frontier Town. This episode from March 12, 1949.
Frontier Town, the saga of the Roaring West. Frontier Town. El Paso, Cheyenne, Powder River, Tombstone. Frontier Town. Here is the adventurous story of the early West, the tamed and the untamed. From the Pecos to Powder River, Dodge City to Poker Flat, these are the towns they fought to live in and lived to fight for. Teeming crucibles of pioneer freedom. Frontier Town!
Ever in Dos Rios and need a lawyer, you might look me up. In a cow town, a frontier town, I don't need much of an office. But if you really want to find me, my one-room suite is upstairs over Cherokee O'Bannon's livery stable. And there's a sign out on the side alley with my name on it, Chad Remington. Now, I don't want you to think there's not much for a country lawyer to do in Dos Rios, because with the type of people who settled the frontier and whose places sprawl over it, we got all kinds. The good and meek to the loud and leathery. Take just last week, for instance. Not only did I get a client, but I earned myself plenty of trouble. Came close to being shot to death. I guess the best place to start is when I was over at Judge Fillmore's house, chatting with the judge and enjoying a few understanding smiles and looks from his daughter, Libby.
Chad, no matter what you and I and Libby think about it, we've got about as much real law out here on the prairie as a porcupine has pin feathers.
Well, you know, I don't always agree with my father, judge or not, but this time I must.
Well, Libby, I don't disagree with you two Fillmores, but I feel we can't just accept the facts because they're facts. We got to do everything we can to rid ourselves of gun law and substitute legal law.
That's exactly the point I was making when I was up to the state capitol last week.
Oh?
The governor, as you remember, is not only a political associate of mine, but one of my oldest friends.
Don't be surprised if Daniel B. Fillmore drops the judge from his name next election and substitutes Lieutenant Governor.
Well, and I suppose the daughter of the lieutenant governor would consider herself slumming if she went out with a cowtown lawyer.
Oh.
That is, if he asked her.
Now, don't forget, Chad. As good a friend of mine as the governor may be, your father was the closest friend I ever
had. It sounded like an explosion.
Those sound like shots. Judge! Judge, someone just held up the bank.
Great day in the morning. The bank! Libby, you wait here. Come on, Chad. Let's get down there fast.
Pussymanious pussy-footing polecat, or this time I'll beat your brains out for fair.
Cherokee, you mean to stand there and tell me you captured this gunman inside the bank single-handed?
My boy, don't ever let it be said that O'Bannon's single-handed. It takes just one O'Bannon to care for one row, but for rebellion it might take two. Stand still there, you varmint.
Then stop twisting my arm.
Stand back, everybody. Here comes the sheriff.
Out of my way now. Out of my way. Move back. Move back there.
Good thing you got here, Sheriff. A There's no hurry anymore. One man army O'Bannon caught your man for you.
Well, so you thought you could get away with holding up the bank all by yourself, did you? Well, I wasn't asking just to hear myself talk.
Maybe he's not answering on advice of counsel, Sheriff. What's your name?
Smith. John Smith.
Huh. Why don't you just make it John Doe?
Yeah, well, Smith, or whatever your name is, I'm hauling you down to the Calaboose. And maybe by the time we get through with you down there, we'll find out who you are, where you came from, and your right name. So we can make it legal when we change your name to a number. Now, come on.
Well, Cherokee and I helped the sheriff down to jail. Then waited in the outside office while the sheriff tried to get a slightly better identification than the convenient name of John Smith. While we were there, knowing Cherokee, I took occasion to do a little investigating of my own.
By the memory of my sainted mother, Chad, I am telling you the truth, the whole truth.
And very little of the truth. Now, Cherokee, I'm not saying you didn't catch the rascal. I'm not saying you're not a hero. All I'm saying is, since you didn't have a bottle of your Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil with you, what did you drink to give you that much Dutch courage?
Upon my honor, Chad, I was cold sober. Well, cold anyhow. But,
What?
I must admit that I was just passing by the bank when that thieving no-good Buzzard Smith backed out and tripped over me, and when I landed on top of him, it knocked all his wind out.
Oh, well, now we're getting places. And since we've gotten the true facts, counsel will excuse witness for... Well, Sheriff, what did you find out?
Yeah, well, nothing. All he'll say is his name is John Smith. Hmm. But there's a label in his shirt from a store in Houston. Hey, I thought I might telegraph down there with a description of him and see if we can't be identified.
Well, say, that's a good idea. A fellow like that's probably wanted on 30 charges in 30 states. Might even be a little reward money.
Reward money? This is getting to look like the brightest day of my ill-favored life. Think I'll go down and send that telegram to Houston myself.
Oh, no, you don't, Cherokee. As the man who caught the prisoner, you're staying right here and answering a lot of questions for me.
There you see, Cherokee, the wages of heroism is work. Now, I'll tell you what. I'll stop by the Western Union office and send the telegram for you myself. Harry, the sheriff asked me to stop by and send a telegram for him.
Why, sure, Chad, sure. What's it about? The fellow tried to hold up the bank?
Well, you dabbed your rope right on it.
I... What was that again, Chad?
Oh, I forgot you've been out here in the cattle country for only a few years, Harry. To dab your rope on something is a cowboy's way of saying you hit the bullseye.
Oh, I guess I'll never get used to the way you West... Well,
oh.
Here comes my wife with my lunch.
Hi there, Mrs. Cummings. You bring enough lunch for the two of us?
Oh, hello, Mr. Remington. No, but I'll be glad to go home and get some more. Hello, darling.
Hello, Martha. Bring me something good?
Well, there's a piece of that pumpkin pie we had last night and some cold fried chicken.
No, I don't mean to interrupt the menu, but I think so I don't impede the wheels of justice, I'd better send this telegram to Houston and get along.
To where, Chad?
To Houston. Oh, maybe coming from Schenectady, you don't know that Houston's in Texas.
Yes. Yes, we know Houston's in Texas.
Hey, well, what's going on here? The minute I mentioned Houston, you both started to look as if you'd lost your last friend.
Oh, no. No, there's nothing wrong. It's just that, well, seems to be some trouble on the line to Houston lately.
Oh, now, mind you, Harry, I'm not calling you a liar, but that's really a little flimsy.
Harry, what's the use? Mr. Remington knows you're lying. Tell him the truth.
Now, Martha, you keep out of this.
I'm not going to. We've had this thing hanging over our heads for years now, and I'm tired of it. Some nights, I can't even sleep. Afraid of my own shadow.
Well, I'm willing to listen. What's the trouble with or in Houston?
Go on, Harry.
Well, 9 years ago, I got thrown in jail in Houston. I was working for the railroad then, as telegrapher.
There was a holdup, and they felt Harry was mixed up in it.
You weren't?
Well, not mixed up the way they meant. I recognized Martha's kid brother, and, well, I could have stopped him, but I didn't.
Uh-huh. And then what happened?
Well, they sentenced me to 7 years. After a year, I broke out.
I see. What a Still don't understand your reluctance to telegraph.
I don't know if you know much about us telegraph operators, but, well, we all have a certain touch. Another telegrapher can recognize a man's fist just the way you can recognize someone's voice.
You see, Mr. Remington, about 10 days ago, when Harry was sending a message to Houston, the man on the other end thought he recognized him and asked him if his name wasn't Harry Cheeseborough. Cheeseborough's our real name.
Chad, I'm scared. I served a year I shouldn't have served. They're not going to put me back. Believe me, they're not.
Now, look, Harry, as a lawyer and as a friend, the best possible thing you can do is turn yourself over to the sheriff.
What?
Listen to him, Harry.
I don't want a red cent. I'll handle your case, and I'm as sure as a man can be that I'll get you off.
Harry, do what Mr. Remington says. Living like this is just like living in purgatory.
Well, come on, Harry. You and I are going down to jail. Harry didn't like the idea, but once the sheriff reassured him that his chances of getting off were pretty good, he seemed to feel better. With our little jail full, the sheriff put him in the same cell he put the bank bandit Smith a little earlier. With my client now in jail, I went down to see the judge.
Chad, I'm afraid you don't realize what you're asking me to do. Just because the governor happens to be an old friend of mine...
Oh, sir, as a judge, I know you're interested in justice. And the ends of justice wouldn't be served by having that man extradited.
Chad's right, Father. Why, Harry and Martha Cummings are good people. There hasn't been a Sunday they haven't been to church, and they've never done anything wrong in all their lives.
I'm no judge of that. All I know is that someone did find him guilty and send him to jail. Besides, to be very frank about it, I don't especially like Chad's suggestion that I impose on a friendship.
Oh, I didn't say anything about your friendship with the governor. I appeal to you as a judge and as an honest and upright citizen to have the governor quash any extradition proceedings should they ever be brought.
Please, Father.
Well, I'll see what I can do. But believe me, it's not entirely voluntary.
Believe me, Mrs. Cummings.
Please, not Mrs. A friend like you've been can certainly call me Martha.
All right, Martha. Now, if you just lean on my arm, I think we can make the 2 blocks to the sheriff's office in no time.
I just can't wait to see the look on Harry's face when he sees this telegram you've gotten from the governor.
Me too. From now on, neither you nor Harry's going to have to worry about Houston or any other town on the face of it.
Chad, those shots!
Yeah, Martha, come on. Those shots are coming from the jail.
Chad, what is it? Can you see?
All I can see is some horses tearing out of town. Sheriff! Sheriff, what happened?
Nothing happened. Nothing at all. That bank crook, John Smith, Cherokee Court, just busted out of jail.
Well, stop huffing and puffing. You'll catch him again. That's not too bad.
Well, maybe that's not too bad, but Harry Cummings busted out with him.
What? Harry? Harry broke out of jail?
Well, he sure did, ma'am.
Oh. Well, this serves me right. I get the man practically pardoned by the governor, and what does he do? Breaks jail, makes a real outlaw of himself. Well, now there's no question about it. Harry Cummings is actually a fugitive from justice.
We'll return to the stirring climax of Frontier Town in just about 1 minute. And now, Frontier Town.
I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm just asking you to try and understand. As far as everyone was concerned, and that includes me, Chad Remington, everything I'd done had been wrong. Not only had I induced Harry Cummings to give himself up and go to jail, but when, because of it, he broke out again, the sheriff was against me, Harry's wife was against me, and most of all, Judge Fillmore and Libby were against me.
Chad, how could you?
How could I?
Wasn't it enough that you came here first and talked Father into helping you? Did you have to come back now that it's too late?
I'm only trying to explain to
you
both.
I'm afraid that explanations are no longer in order. In fact, I'm afraid any explanations that are due will be mine, trying to explain to the governor the meaning of this utterly ridiculous situation.
I thought if anyone around Dos Rios would understand and have a little sympathy, it'd be you two.
Oh, so now you're going to try to turn things around and blame them on Father and me.
The less said about this, the better off we'll all be.
In other words, without a trial, without any suitable evidence, you're going to convict a man that just yesterday you agreed was decent and honest to the best of your knowledge.
Chad, I resent your tone of voice, and I certainly resent your speaking that way to my father.
Just a moment, Libby. I'm quite capable of taking care of myself. Mr. Remington seems to feel that this is a courtroom, and that as the attorney for the poor, downtrodden, misunderstood defendant, he's going to make an impassioned, oratorical ballyhoo on behalf of his client.
I'm not trying to do
anything.
Young
man, you could at least have the decency to wait until I finished.
Yes, sir.
I was just going to add that since this is not a courtroom and since your client is not on trial here, but since this is the parlor of my home, I'd appreciate your leaving.
Oh, Father.
Oh, let it go, Libby. This is your father's home. I'm certain he's not going to be any happier or any more satisfied until I've proved that Harry Cummings...
Harry Cheeseborough!
I'll accept the correction, Your Honor. Until I've proved that Harry Cheeseborough either was forced to break jail or was completely out of his head.
You're not going to prove anything standing here.
You're quite right, Judge. When I've proved something, I'll be seeing you, Libby. I hope.
Huh.
Cherokee, I appreciate you trying to buck me up, but it's a waste of breath.
Now, just a minute, my fine, upstanding friend. Right here in my hand, I hold this little bottle of absolutely genuine Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil. You say you want to know what this little article does? Well, I'm going to tell you. This astounding preparation not only cures dandruff and heaves in your favorite horse, but is sold with a money-back guarantee to cure morning-after collywobbles. Blues that are bluer than the sky over there.
All right, Dr. O'Bannon. I certainly can't give a testimonial for your universal panacea, but I'm ready and willing to admit that even without your rattlesnake oil, you can cure a case of blues, depression, and save a man from suicide.
Now, sonny boy, you're talking. So let's analyze your problem. You wouldn't have a trouble in the world if we could find Harry Cummings and clear this thing up.
Just as simple as all that, is it?
Even simpler. Now look at it this way. He broke out of jail with that John Smith character.
Mm-hmm.
Who caught John Smith in the first place?
Well,
never mind, I'll tell you I did. And if I could do it once, I can do it again.
Well, if you think I'm going to wait until the two of them stumble over your legs this time, you're greatly mistaken. If you really want to help, throw a couple of saddles on two of those broken-down nags you rent here, and let's deputize ourselves a two-man posse to find them and bring them back.
Find them? How do you propose to do that?
I may be a lawyer now, Cherokee, but don't forget I was born on a ranch and brought up on a ranch. I can still read sign and cut trail. Now go on, get me a good horse and let's be going.
Oh, Chad, if you only could find him. I just know that Harry never, never broke out of jail himself.
Well, ma'am, he certainly broke out. Me and Chan ain't going to find him at all unless we get locomoting, if that's the word.
Martha, believe me, I'll do everything a man possibly can. Don't forget, you and Harry aren't the only ones involved in this thing now.
Oh, God bless you, Chan. God bless you.
All right, Cherokee. Get that horse turned around and let's get going. Ever look for a needle in a haystack? Well, that's what we were doing. To make it worse, the weather had turned as black as my mood. A cold wind had frozen the ground hard, showing about as much sign as a piece of smooth-carved granite. But with Martha Cummings on my mind and Libby Fillmore in my heart, Cherokee and I pushed stubbornly ahead.
Now, I'm no man to complain, Chad, but this is one wild goose chase where I'm starting to feel like the goose. You look like a gone gosling.
Well, there is a goose involved in this, all right. Several geese, in fact. Harry's, Martha's, not the least of them, my own.
Knowing the fair sex like I do, I can promise you Libby will get over it.
And knowing the judge like I do, I can promise you he... Oh, rein up.
What in twisted up tarnation are you stopping out here for? Want to freeze to death?
No, but I sure want to look at that briar bush over there.
Briar bush?
Hey, Cherokee, look. Look what was snagged off on that briar.
Looks like a little piece of black cloth.
Black alpaca cloth. And if I'm not mistaken, the same black alpaca Harry Cummings' sleeve guards are made of. Cherokee, I think we found the trail.
Now braid my hair and call me Pocahontas. You mean to say you spotted that little patch of black cloth out here in the middle of no place? And did it mean something?
Sure does mean something. It means we're turning our horses and riding through that briar patch.
But there ain't nothing beyond the briar. That is nothing but rocks.
Nothing but rocks. And I hope a trail that'll lead us to that bank bandit and Harry Cummings. All right, this is good, Cherokee. Right here.
Whoa, now.
Oh, boy.
Whoa, you elegant equine.
Oh, nothing up here but rocks, huh? What does that look like?
Looks like the entrance to a deserted mine.
Except I don't know how deserted it is right now.
Well, if those two are down there, and we go in after them with the light coming from behind us, we'd make two of the prettiest targets you ever saw.
Yeah, you're right about that. Sure wish there was some way of finding out if there's anybody down there and what's going on.
Smith, I tell you, we'll starve down here. We'd have been better off staying in jail.
Why don't you dry up? I should have left you in that jail to rot.
Maybe I'd been better off rotting there than down here. We only had some air.
You keep that up and you'll get air, all right. I'll ventilate you proper.
You're just the kind who would, too. If I'd had any salt in me at all, I wouldn't let you take me with you.
Why, you...
No!
Now, keep that trap of yours shut.
Look, the air down here is so bad. Why don't you let me see if I can't dig a little hole up toward the top? Just a little one. Just enough to get some fresh air.
Yeah, all right. Gonna keep you amused like you would a kid.
Can I use one of your spurs to dig with?
Yeah, you can use anything. Only just shut up. Here.
Thanks. Now maybe we can get some air.
Like someone digging inside the mine.
Yeah, it's not just digging. It isn't steady enough. Sounds more like dots and dashes, like telegraph code.
You mean it's Harry sending us a message? What is he saying?
I don't know. They didn't teach telegraphy at law school. It convinces me of one thing. Harry didn't voluntarily escape, and he's risking his neck now in the hope that somebody will hear this and capture them.
Fine chance, just the two of us. The entrance to this place, a regular shooting gallery.
Cherokee, if you got the salt to try something, I've got an idea that may work. Well, it's got to work, and none of us are going to get out of here alive. If I hadn't wanted to save Harry, it would have been easy enough. We could have shot through the entrance to the mine and blasted them out of there. The shot might have killed Harry. So I had Cherokee climb on top of the entrance and hang there like a possum by its tail. Then I gathered up some dry brush, trusting to the wind to carry the smoke inside, set fire. With the smoke blowing inside the place, I just waited. Then after minutes, it seemed hours.
All right, you got us. We're coming out.
And keep your hands where we can see them.
Watch it, Cherokee.
don't trust that Smith as far as you can throw a buffalo by its tail.
I got you, Chad. Fell on him once, and I can do it again.
All right, come on. Shake a leg or you'll both end up in there barbecued.
Hey, all right, mister. You got us out of there, but you haven't got me yet.
Oh, what a yellow-spined varmint you are, Smith. Using Harry as a shield.
Don't mind me, Chad. Get him.
Oh, I'm afraid, Harry, that just talks easy. Come on. If you want horses, ours are over there.
All right, mister. Get moving.
All right, Cherokee, jump.
Why, you...
That's it, Cherokee. Now, hold on to it. Well, Cherokee, that's one way of getting business.
Getting business?
You bet. I can't think of a better customer now for your Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil than Mr. John Smith. You might even do a wholesale business with him when he's up in his permanent home, the state penitentiary.
I can't ever tell you how much both Harry and I owe you.
You don't owe me a thing. Anything you might owe, you owe the judge for his influence with the governor.
Oh, stuff and nonsense. I'd say the real thanks are due to Cherokee. He's the man who knocked the wind out of Smith twice.
Now, just a minute. Nobody could have done anything if Harry hadn't tapped out that message. So we'd know he was down there.
What would you have done if your life was at stake? No, sir. I'm passing the medal right back to Chad.
Libby, let's let them all stay here making speeches. I think you and I ought to take a little walk. We have a few things to talk over.
I haven't much to say, Chad, but if you think you have, I can be an awfully good listener.
Frontier Town, starring Tex Chandler, is a Bruce Ells production. Supervision by Joel Murcott. Story and direction by Paul Franklin. Music written and played by Ivan Ditmars. Be sure to be with us again, this time 1 week from today, for another fine action-adventure story with your favorite young Western star, Tex Chandler. Frontier Town came to you from Hollywood.
Frontier Town, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 12, 1949, a syndicated recording. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. And now we move on to Have Gun, Will Travel, with John Daner as Paladin. This June 5th, 1960 broadcast from CBS called Apache Concerto.
Can change what's happened in the past, but maybe I can do something to make up for it, to help you get a new start.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Oh, hey, boy.
Hello, Mr. Paladin.
What? Hey, boy. What happened? Where'd you get that black eye?
Hey, boy, have fight.
Oh. Hop Singh?
Yes, sir.
He was bullying you again?
Yes, sir. Remember that book hey, boy show you? What Confucius say? Remember that thing you say? Good advice?
Yes, I remember. If a man does not resent slight injustices, he will soon be called upon to face giant wrongs.
Yes, sir. So, hey, boy, decide to resent injustice. Show Hop Singh. Yes, sir. Hey, boy, get beat up.
Well, hey, boy, I was reading through that book, and do you know what else Confucius said? Do not glory in your strength. There is always a stronger.
Hey, Confucius have answer for everything.
Yes, he does. Well, do you suppose you have the strength to carry out these bags for me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, where you going, Mr. Paladin?
I'm going to El Paso, head boy. While I'm gone, you heed this advice. Discretion is the better part of valor. So, stay out of Hop Singh's way. It was early in the morning when I arrived in El Paso. I checked into a hotel, had breakfast, then walked 2 blocks to a small building. Painted on the glass front door was Melvin B. McCleary, attorney at law. When I first knew Mel McCleary, he was a prosecuting attorney for the state and a good man with a deep and abiding respect for the law. I hadn't seen him since he'd hung out his own shingle.
Paladin!
Hey, Mel!
Paladin, hey. I knew you'd come. It's good to see you.
How are you, Mel? It's been a long time.
Sit down.
Sure, thanks. Well, that's a nice setup you have here. How's it going, having your own practice?
Good, very good. I'm so busy right now that I can't even take the time to clear my own conscience. That's why I sent for you.
Oh, I can't imagine your conscience carrying a load that would present much of a problem.
Mm. You remember a fellow named Wiley Dawson?
Dawson? No.
Well, you have to go back a few years. It was my first case as prosecutor in Texas. You were here at the time.
Oh, sure, of course. He was a sheriff, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I remember.
Charged with the holdup of a Wells Fargo office and the murder of a guard.
That's right.
And if you recall, the outcome of that trial was that Dawson was sentenced to life imprisonment.
Yeah.
He served 3 years in Huntsville and escaped.
Well, I didn't know that.
I felt cheated. I saw to it that the law kept after him, always after him. But he always managed to stay just one jump ahead.
Never captured him.
No, he's been a fugitive for 2 years now, living like a hunted animal. Well, a month ago, a man made a full confession to that holdup. Dawson has been completely exonerated.
Oh. I guess I can understand how you feel, Mel.
It hasn't been pleasant living with myself this past month.
Well, you only did your job.
Whatever. But he's got to be found, Paladin. Somehow I must find a way to try to make amends. I need your help.
All right, Mel. Where do I start looking?
Thank you, Paladin. Well, there's been no word on him for several months. But there is a woman. From down Chinati way across the border. I've heard she may know something. You might start there. Her name is Maria. That's all I know.
I followed the Rio Grande River south and crossed the border into the town of Chinati. It was hot, dry, and dusty. At one end of the only street was a cathedral. At the other end, a cantina with not much in between. I headed for the cantina. It was empty, except for the fat bartender and the even fatter flies.
Hello, senor.
Yeah, whiskey American.
I see. Whiskey American.
Yeah.
It's a nice day, no?
No. Is there a hotel in this town?
No, senor.
Is there a restaurant, someplace to eat? Tengo hambre.
Ah, sí, senor, you can eat.
Eat, yeah.
Tierosos. Muy bueno.
Where is it?
It's out there, that way. Una casita, you'll find.
Thanks.
What's your name?
Esteban.
Esteban, do you know a man named Wiley Dawson?
No, sabe.
Wiley Dawson.
No, sabe.
You know his girlfriend? Her name's Maria. You know where I can find her?
No, sabe.
Look, Esteban, I come as a friend to Senor Dawson. I have a very important message for him.
Don't know him. Don't know him.
Believe me, he'll be glad to see me. Yeah, well, I don't know how to convince you, but sometimes this can be pretty convincing.
See?
Not so fast. Wiley Dawson, you know him?
Senor, not for all the gold you could stack from here to here, could I tell you that?
Look, if he shows up this afternoon, I'll be at Tia Rosa's. Tia Rosa's was about a half mile from the cantina, a small adobe hut set in the middle of nothing. The food was not muy bueno, but it was filling, and the specialty of the house, as far as I was concerned, was a dirt-floored patio that boasted a large cottonwood tree. After eating, I laid down in the blessed shade and promptly fell asleep. My awakening was a rude one. I was lifted to my feet by the front of my shirt, and a fist drove into my chin. Hey, you.
Come here.
Oh, no, wait. Look.
That's from Wiley Dawson, mister. I promised myself that the next one that came along was going to get it. That's you.
Come here. Hmm? No, stop it.
There's lots of hate behind that fist, mister. You, all of you, dogging my trail, hounding me. I've had enough. I'm not running anymore, see?
Come here.
Lucy, if anyone phones me tonight, I'm not home.
Oh, dear. All week you've been coming home like this, cross and tired.
If you'd had my nagging backache with restless, sleepless nights, you'd feel worn out, too.
But why just complain of backache? Do something.
What?
Try Doane's pills.
Right. Doane's pills are an analgesic and mild diuretic to the kidneys. Nagging backache, also headache, dizziness, and muscular aches and pains, may come on with overexertion, emotional upsets, or everyday stress and strain. Doane's pain-relieving action is often the answer, and they also offer mild diuretic action through the kidneys. So if nagging backache is making you feel worn out, tired, and miserable, with restless, sleepless nights, don't wait. Try Doane's pills, used successfully by millions for over 60 years. See if they don't bring you the same welcome relief. Get Doane's pills today. To save money, buy Doane's big economy size.
At last, you open your eyes.
Hmm. Well, what do you know? Where'd you come from?
I am Maria. The old woman, Tia Rosa, is my grandmother.
Maria? You Wiley Dawson's girl?
I am Wiley Dawson's wife.
His wife? Where's Dawson?
He had to go. Some men came from him. There was a big hurry. Please, senor, you make yourself able to leave here before he gets back.
Miss Dawson, I have to talk to you. Did your husband think I was the law?
Is that not right? You are.
No. I came to bring him word that he doesn't have to run away from the law anymore. He's a free man.
What is this you say?
Another man has confessed to the crime that he was charged with. A terrible wrong has been done to your husband, Maria.
You sit there, senor. And you say terrible wrong. You don't know how terrible.
I can guess.
We marry when Wiley have escaped from prison. We go to Kansas and homestead. But comes law. We run. Wiley work in mine in Arizona. Law come, we run. Run, always run. Because of something another man do.
No one can do anything about the past, Maria, but maybe something can be done to make up for it, to help you get a new start.
It is too late, senor.
What do you mean?
My husband tried to do what is right. But, senor, only so much a man can hold. How you say? You have the name, just as good to have the game. My husband has now joined with El Bandido Paco.
Paco?
Si.
How long ago did he throw in with Paco?
Only last week. They meet and they talk in the cantino.
Well, the way Paco hates gringos, he must have some good reason for taking your husband in. Probably a job he is planning where he'll need him. Is he with Paco now?
Si. Paco's men come. They ride to camp this instante.
And do you know the trail of this camp?
I have seen it, yes.
Well, come on, show me. I'm going up there.
No. No, senor. No one goes to Paco's camp unless Paco says so.
Maria, I have a job to do to find Wiley Dawson, deliver the message to him that he's a free man, and take him back to El Paso. He'll be helped to make a new life. But none of that will matter unless I can get to him before he starts out with Paco and really commits a crime.
Si. I understand. Señor.
Huh?
Pare. Stop here.
Oh, no. Is this it?
Up ahead. That trail.
Up through those rocks there?
Sí. Señor, there is a rifle behind every bush.
Now, they're riflemen. Would they shoot to kill or just take me prisoner?
Take you prisoner, of course. To have the pleasure to torture the gringo. Believe me, Senor Paladin, you should not go up there.
Look, Maria, will you take this? It's my card. Now, I've written a name on the back of it, the name of a man in El Paso. If I'm, if I'm detained, see if you could get in touch with him, will you?
Yes. You are a foolish man. But que Dios te bendiga.
Thank you. All right, now you go back, Maria.
Adios.
Adios. All right, boy. Come on. Come on. Pick up your feet. Come on.
Alto! Alto! Lele!
My name is Paladin.
Gringo! Venga acá! Gringo! Pronto!
Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos, corn chips. It's not polite to smack your lips, but you can't help it with Fritos, corn chips. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos, corn chips.
That's right, Fritos, corn chips. So crisp and light, there's contentment in every munch. Serve them at outdoor parties, as a snack, or with dips. Fritos, corn chips are so good with cold drinks, everyone will want to munch a bunch. Fritos have a flavor no other kind of chip can match.
Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos, corn chips.
Fritos are golden chips of corn just made to munch. Keep Fritos corn chips on hand for the perfect warm weather between meal treat. Tuck a bag in every lunch, picnic, or otherwise. Serve them with sandwiches, salads, all summer meals. Fritos corn chips are full of good, crisp, refreshing flavor. F-R-I-T-O-S, Fritos corn chips.
Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos, corn chips.
Rifles were trained on me from all sides as I was led up the trail. Paco's camp was in a wide valley that lay on the other side of the steep cliff. There were many untidy rows of jacales, thatch-roofed huts. And in front of the biggest one, squatting on the ground in a circle, were a bunch of the meanest-looking men I've ever seen, and Wiley Dawson. Horses were standing nearby, saddled and ready.
Andale, gringo.
Hey,
Paco. Nosotros encontrábamos este gringo en la vereda. ¿Qué quiere? What do you want, gringo?
I come to talk to Wiley Dawson.
You. Look, didn't you have enough?
Dawson,
Who is this man?
The law, Parker.
I am not the law.
Came to Chinati after me. I knocked him around some. I should have killed him.
Dawson, will you listen to me? You don't have to run from the law anymore. A man confessed to the crime you were charged with. You're a free man.
Oh, it's a trick, Mr. Dawson. These gringos from the law have many tricks.
Sure, it's a trick. They've used just about everyone in the book to try to get
Dawson,
you.
Listen.
You listen, lawman. 5 years ago, I was convicted of robbing a Wells Fargo office and killing a guard. I didn't do it. You want to know where I'm going now? I'm going into El Paso, and I am going to rob that Wells Fargo office, and if a guard gets in my way, I'll kill him.
Don't do it.
Come on, Dawson, we must go. You, gringo, lawman, we'll save you for when we get back. Then we have a sport. We feed you to ants. Vámonos, señores. Pancho, tie up this gringo lawman. We'll save him for later.
The men mounted the horses and rode off. Then, at the point of a rifle, I was prodded into one of the huts and my hands and feet were tied. Sometime later, I began to consider that perhaps I was too conscientious about my work when I heard the commotion outside.
Senor Paredes.
Huh? Maria.
I was at the bottom of the trail. I saw the men right away. My husband went. Senor, he does not belong with us, bandidos.
Of course he doesn't. What's going on out there?
There are not many men left in camp. I see that they're busy. I set fire to the jacales at the far end. Here, let me untie your hands.
Yeah. Well, how did you get by the trail guard?
With a lie. I say I'm on errand for my husband.
Now, maybe it wasn't a lie, Maria. Maybe I can still stop him. Can you get me a gun?
I think so. Yeah. There, your hands are free.
Thanks. Now I'll get these ropes around my ankles.
Senor, what can you do against all of those Paco's bandidos?
Paco's bandidos won't dare ride into El Paso. They'll stay at a safe distance. It'll be Dawson and maybe a couple of Paco's men, one that he feels he can afford to lose. There we are.
Your horse is still out there.
Good. I'll look out and see if it's clear.
There's no one.
How's the fire?
It does very well.
Yeah, spreading. I believe it's even drawn the trail guards. Well, let's go, Maria. It was a long ride and a hard one, and I knew I was making good time, but it wasn't good enough. When I reached El Paso, there were gunshots coming from the Wells Fargo office, and by the time I dismounted and went inside, the safe had been blasted open and the guard lay on the floor with a bullet in him. Hey.
Bandit robbed safe.
Who shot you?
Little Mexican. Mexican bandit.
Which way they go?
Out the back.
All right, you'll be all right. I'm going after them. Hey, you, stop! Dawson, hold it! Yeah. Dawson?
Looked like you win, lawman. You're a persistent cuss.
You're a stubborn one. I am not a lawman.
It doesn't matter. But I want you to know I didn't shoot that guard.
I know. He told me who it was. He can testify for you. Oh, he'll be all right. But your compañeros are dead.
Maybe better if I was.
Nonsense. Dawson.
What?
I'll take the stand for you, too. And there's a lawyer I know, the best in the state. He feels he owes you a lot.
What are you talking about?
You'll see. Now, we better get that shoulder fixed up. Come in.
Oh,
Miss
Wong. Hello, Mr. Paladin. Glad to see you back.
Well.
All right, I clean the room now?
Oh, yes. I've been waiting for you, Miss Wong. Oh, wait. Wait now. Remember what you wanted me to bring you from Mexico? Look.
Mr. Paladin, big hat.
The sombrero, Miss
Wong. Oh, Mr. Paladin. Here, let me put him on. Oh, there.
Oh, now, well, it is. That's lovely, Miss Wong.
Yes,
but why anyone in San Francisco should want one of those is beyond me.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, rain all the time in San Francisco. Big hat keep rain off of me.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Thirsty people everywhere prefer ice-cold Pepsi-Cola. And because it's light, it refreshes without filling.
Charlie, be sociable.
I am, Kay. Pepsi is a favorite of thirsty people from Maine to Hawaii, from Alaska to Florida.
Charlie.
It's perfect for parties or picnics, so serve Pepsi to your guests.
That's helpful, but...
This is the sociable part. Keep plenty of Pepsi ice cold and ready. Remember, it goes fast because everybody likes Pepsi.
Singing still sounds more inviting. May I?
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
But singing doesn't say, pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today. Better yet, get a case.
You do that.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Parrott and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Bartlett Robinson, Jack Edwards, Don Diamond, and Peggy Weber. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 5th, 1960 on CBS. And that ends this hour of Radio Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVeonier. It's been a pleasure.